Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The hottest Knicks tape you'll find online. Knicks all day. We bleed blue and orange. This is Knicks Fan TV, your one-stop shop for the ultimate New York Knicks fan experience. News, rumors, debates, post-game live streams featuring live callers.
Let's go Knicks, baby!
And now, your host, CP, the NY Fanatic.
All right, salute to Knicks Nation, CP the Franchise, back at it. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. This is the live interview with my guy, Sky Zoo, rapper,
peace, peace.
MC, lyricist, diehard Knicks fan, Brooklyn's own. Sky Zoo, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show, bro.
What's up, bro? What's up? What's going on, partner? I had to run to the fridge in the man cave real quick, because I said we're going to be sitting down for a while.
Of course.
I got to get situated and get it together, you know what I mean?
Of course, man. Nah, thanks for joining me, man. Well, let's start this off. You know, you and I had connected at, before that, but in person at Knicks-Hawks game four, man. Yeah. And Knicks on their way to getting routed and ultimately getting out of this series last Wednesday, game five. Just talk about the overall season. You know, how did you reflect back on the season once it was all said and done?
Oh, man. Well, you know, it was a Cinderella season for sure. You know, it was a Cinderella season, which is a good thing. It's something we can build on. It's something that we can know, okay, this is where we started. We didn't even know we would start this high. So now, you know, we started here and there's nowhere to go but up. You know, now there's expectations. Now there's, we prove we could do certain things, right? So it's no turning back. There's no, you know, well, you know, we doing this year. Nah, yeah. Like last year y'all was cooking. So y'all got to keep cooking. And that's the league. That's everybody looking around like, oh, y'all showed something. Yeah. Like show that it wasn't a fluke. You know what I mean? So now there's expectations and everything to meet. So it was a good season, man. We didn't expect this. We was fade for Cade.
Facts.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
We was, you know, go under the rug for Suggs. Like we was, you know what I mean? We had all that kind of talk going on in November. And now, you know, we sitting back like, yo, we hit the playoffs. Boom, boom, boom. Like I said, there's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, nowhere to go but up, man. And today it was just announced that Tom Thibodeau named Coach of the Year. You know, so that goes with Julius's Most Improved Player of the Year. What you think about the job that Tibbs did this year with him?
I thought it was amazing. And going into the season, I definitely was with Tibbs getting the job because of his prestige and what he's done, and you know his resume speaks for itself. But the one thing that scared me was running people knees into the ground. I was like, yo, Tibbs gonna make them boys work, and I don't know, we saw how that went before, you know, and he did.
Yeah.
You know, Julius and RJ led the league in minutes. I mean, so
yeah,
he did, but thank God they seem to be in great shape and they cool. But Tibbs did an amazing job. You know, this pretty much similar roster to the year before, a few different pieces give or take, but
yeah,
very similar to the year before. And look at what we did. Look at what he did. So, you know, you got to just give it up 100% to him.
Yeah, true story, man. And I came on earlier to talk about him winning the award. And, you know, you could make the argument about, you know, players being overworked because it did look like they kind of ran out of steam at the end. For me, it's just hard to tell, you know, objectively whether or not that happened without seeing players, you know, getting hurt or directly saying it. You could tell, you know, like I said, that game four, being there in Atlanta and watching D. Rose limping off the court, he definitely didn't look good. The West Coast trip was certainly took a toll. I think it did take a toll on him. you know, because they were under the gun to maintain that fourth seed. And then at the same time, they're on a 6-game road trip out west, in which they did go 3-3. You know, they did show a good showing, but that double overtime or was overtime loss to the Lakers, you know, to finish the trip, you know, that was tough. That I think that definitely took a toll on him, bro.
100%. I think the only thing, too, with Tibbs, you know, as much as I like him and as much as he deserved to get this award, you hope that that 39, 40 minutes a night doesn't scare people off when it comes to people wanting to come into a situation. It's one thing for this to be a team that Tibbs inherited. Like, all right, we got to play 40 minutes a night. It is what it is. But it's another thing for somebody to choose to play 40 minutes a night. You know what I mean? So you just hope that that doesn't hold people back. You know, I know people talk about Kawhi and all that. We all know Kawhi like to chill when it's time to chill, like, or when it's not time to chill. He like to chill when he say, nah, I ain't doing nothing tonight. I'm cooling. And Tibbs ain't going to be with that. You know what I mean? So we hopefully, you know, his ways don't scare off potential incoming players. But we rocked and rolled, man. Like, I'm super proud of him. Super proud of him.
True story, man. Once again, salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys.
It's thumbs up button for your boys. I wanted to say that for so long. That's your tagline. Hit that thumbs up button for your boys.
You already know, man. Absolutely. This is Knicks Fan TV Live, presented by Manscaped. Special guest Sky Zoo in the building. We're talking Knicks and his upcoming album dropping this Friday, All the Brilliant Things. So we're going to get into all of that, man. If you guys want to call in, talk about Knicks, talk to Sky Zoo, man. The phone lines are up, 657-383-1509. We'll also take some calls via the Discord as well. Talking about this season, bro, what or who was your biggest surprise this season?
I think Randall was everybody's. I think if you ask anybody, it'll be kind of unanimous. You know, going into it, you know, everybody was like, yo, we got to move on from Son. We got Obi. Yeah. Obi going to take over that spot. And I think Julius was watching the draft and was like, oh, word? All right. You know what I'm saying? And that's just me saying that. Mm-hmm. I don't got no intel, no nothing. Obviously, they get along well on the court. But I think the competitive spirit in him might have been like, oh, word? That's what we doing? All right. You make heads rethink that. And he cooked. He proved it.
Yeah, big time, bro. Now, on the playoff side of things, didn't really go so well for him. You sat there, you watched the whole series.
Yeah.
Did your view on him change by the time the playoffs ended?
No, I think it just showed you have somebody who's really talented and who put in a ton of work. Mm-hmm. This was a situation of, as talented as he is, the work definitely was what pushed it over. You know, it was that whole type of vibe. And regardless of all of that, it showed heads need a roster upgrade. You know, and I remember talking to some of my peoples, you know, in my chat with the Knicks and all that, and I, you know, with my Knicks fans, you know, homies and all that, and it was like, yo, we need a roster upgrade bad. Like, regardless of how dope the season went and the Cinderella season and the magic of it, yo, we really need a roster switch up. You know, there's not a lot of – I mean, some heads, but not a lot of heads that need to be coming back. As much as we may feel some type of attachment to them because it was kind of a grit-and-grind season, not to borrow that from the Grizzlies, but kind of a grit-and-grind type season and blue-collar, lunch-pail, 93-94 season. Yo, we need some talent. You know what I mean? A lot of this was you know, squeezing, you know, water out of a rock. You know what I mean? Like, we need a real talent upgrade at a lot of them seats on that bench. So, you know, but I think that's the only thing that improved with Julius, that you're putting so much on his plate. And if you had a real point guard, if you had – a sniper in that starting lineup. You know, if you had those types of things around him, he'll really be able to cook. One night he may be the number one, one night he may be the number three because you got that much talent on the squad. And it don't got to be, you know, Miami big three or nothing like that or Brooklyn big three. You know, you just need the right talent around him. Everybody need to be able to go get 20 if they have to without losing sleep.
Yeah.
And that's what it got to be about.
I agree, man. You know, I was one coming into the season. Before the season started, I'm like, yeah, we need to move on from him. He's not the guy. And then he came in, turned the whole thing around, made winning plays. You know, that's what I was looking for. Can he make winning plays? Can he shoot the three at a reasonable clip where I won't miss Porzingis? Because obviously that was one thing that Porzingis did, not make winning plays. But he was a nice shooter from three. Yeah, you know, Julius' first year, he was 29% from three. He was laying bricks out there. So, and then on top of the turnovers and everything, he just wasn't a guy for me. But he really proved me wrong this season. You know, playoffs was disappointing for me, man. Just watching it and going from 37 points per game against this team, the Hawks, to 18. 58% from the field to 38%. You know, 50% from three to 30. I mean, he was just god awful, man. But
yeah, it was rough, man.
Yeah,
and you know, I think if this was any other city, it would have been, well, we happy because we made it in,
yeah,
and it went bad, but it's okay. This is New York. So once we got a little taste of that, it was on. It was like, nah, we supposed to be running this. Nah, yeah, we supposed to get to the chip. And I think deep down, you knew we wasn't going that far. But, yeah, you know, you saw the potential, and that dream started to look real. It wasn't a playing spot. It wasn't the eighth seed. Yeah. It was the fourth.
Fourth.
It was like, yo,
fourth.
Home court advantage. It was, yeah, like, yo,
yeah,
that's my duel or something. Like, I definitely had us in six.
Yeah.
I definitely had us in, yeah, six.
That, you know, that's what I mean? What I, like, thought, I, bro.
Definitely had us there.
That's what I thought. Like, when the season first started, even when we first had some impressive wins, you know, the blowout win against the Bucks at home, you know, the Rivers, yeah, game against the Jazz, and you starting to see, like, okay, they're saying something right now. I'm like, yeah, all right, maybe they'll compete for the play-in. But right, I never saw the fourth seed. And then by the time we hit the All-Star break, we're in the fourth seed. I'm like, yeah, okay. But the second half of the schedule is going to get tough. I expect, mm-hmm, them to come back a little bit, especially defensively. Then they, yeah, get Rose, and they're right there, bro. They're, yeah, right there. I don't think they dip below seventh on that whole stretch. And then, you know, there was a lot of, you know, there was very little separation between 4 through 10 at times, even, yeah, in the second, absolutely, half of the schedule. So it was, absolutely, an incredible run, man.
You know, confidence is everything. Yeah. And confidence can push you through a lot, whether it's sports, whether it's music, whatever it is. Confidence can push you through anything. So, mm-hmm, I feel like once heads got on a little run, there was a confidence that kicked in with everybody from, yeah, 1 through 15 of, yo, we could do this. And there was a confidence of Julius, like, yo, I might be the nicest, might be top 10 in the league right now. Like, there was a, yeah, confidence within him that pushed it. And then I think with the playoffs, them lights got bright, man.
I think it got bright, bro.
I think the first night, what they went, like 0 for 10 out the gate or whatever, yeah, it was? It looked like, yeah, that. It looked like 0 for 15 right away. So I think they were so excited. You know, they needed to calm down. Just, yeah, all right, let's get – I know y'all never been here before. Let's get this under control. You know, them lights was real bright.
Yeah.
And it showed, and I don't think they was able to recover quick enough.
Going from 2000, even though it was live in there, you know, I went to a couple games. Went to Phoenix, San Antonio, went to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And when we had 2000 there, and we were still, the energy was there, but bro, yeah, when we went to 15,
y'all forget it.
That place was rumbling, bro.
Rumbling. Forget it. It was, yeah, like back in the days, right?
Yeah. Oh my good. Yo, it was rumbling in there when I tell you, man. So,
beautiful,
you know, it was a good time to be there, but just tough to see him flame out that way. But I just felt like they lost to, you know, a better team in the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, they got talent over there, man. Yeah. I ain't gonna hold you. Trey is for real. It shows you when you got a real point guard what can happen, man. Like, Trey is for real.
You're still waiting. Still waiting.
You know what I mean?
You know, that's nothing to D Rose, but, you know, he could only do what he could do.
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah, yeah. That's somebody I want to see come back next year.
Yeah, so I'd love to see him come back. I would love to see him come back. I just,
yeah,
you know, as a starter, he's not going to hold up. You know, we just need that long-term option. But I would definitely sign up for bringing D Rose back, man.
100%.
Biggest disappointment this season. Who are you most disappointed in this season?
Oh, man. Oh, that's tough, man.
Yeah.
Some of them. Like, you could say Obi, but Obi didn't get the shot.
Right.
You know, because if Randle wasn't here, clearly Obi was going to be the starting four. He was going to get all the touches. Mm-hmm. It was going to be him and RJ,
mm-hmm,
throwing the rock back. Boom, boom, boom. You know, it was going to be all that. So
yeah,
you want to say Obi, but you kind of can't, you know?
Yeah.
You can't just throw the kid in like, all right, I know you ain't playing three games, but just go. Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm, you know, not as a first-year guy with all this, you know, they had this picture on the side of the building, and now you're not playing.
Right,
the expectations go from here to there, and you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm,
the garden had him wrapped around it one day. The next day, it's, all right, son, hold it down, because Julius is cooking. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So, you know, you can't really say Obi as much as it seems like you want to. I don't know, man. RJ Cook. I say, I guess Mitchell, but just from a health standpoint.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, just from a health, mm-hmm, standpoint. And that's out of his control. So it's hard to say that.
Yeah.
You know what,
yeah,
I mean? Because the guys you may have been disappointed in, you kind of knew they was going to be disappointed before the season started.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right,
the guys at the end of the bench or whatever, like, you knew a lot of them guys. You know, you knew what Kev was going to do. And, you know, you knew where that was going to be. You know what,
yeah,
I mean? Like, them type of guys. And, you know, it is what it is. But you saw that coming.
Yeah.
You know, you saw that being on the way.
I'm going to go with Kev, bro. because I just felt like he started the season off okay. Like we gave him the nickname Corner Boy Kev. He was hitting the corner three at 50% of clip. Yeah. Him and Julius had that connection going. And then, you know, he lost his playing time. Obi took his spot basically. And then you just never saw him. And then even in the little minutes that he got, he just, you know, he just never really put it together well, man. I think Kev's career so far, 3 years into the league, has been a huge disappointment, you know, from his rookie year.
We're talking about overall. Absolutely. Overall. I mean, you're talking about a guy who lotto pick.
Yeah.
Supposed to be, you know, the small forward of the future, take over, you know, with Melo's spot when Melo left.
Like, he should have taken Bullock's spot, to be real. He should have taken Bullock's spot, bro.
Right. You know, like he was supposed to, Melo left, he was supposed to come in and fill those shoes. Yeah. All right, we need a small forward that could do it all. Boom, 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 boom. And, you know, when a guy doesn't get playing time, and you, it's not like when he's in the game, he's doing so much to warrant him not playing. So that means there's something going on in practice that Tibbs is feeling like, I can't play something. You know what I mean? That could go for a lot of guys on the team, but that means there's something going on in there. We all see he got talent, but we know he don't really have that dog in him.
We
don't really have that, I'm going to go out there and get it, whatever it take. You know, and then you look at the guys they passed. MPJ, man, like it's disgusting, man. And that was Fizdale, man. That was Fizdale who pulled that trigger, man. For those who don't know,
Perry,
you know
Perry
what I mean?
Like,
I'm sure you know because you all the way tapped in.
Yeah,
that was Fizdale who saw them in that game of 21. Miles Bridges, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and Kev.
And Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges playing right now. Suns and Denver about to kick off. Mikal Bridges having a monster year this year, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. These, you know, they playing 21, and Kev is going crazy. And David Fizdale is like, I got to have Kev. All right, they gave him Kev. Meanwhile, Michael Porter Jr. dropping 30 and 10 a night. Like,
they try to get too cute with potential. When there was obvious there, Miles, Mikal.
Fizdale home chilling. We sitting here with this pick.
I thought they tried to get too cute with the Cav pick. I understood the Porter thing. You know, even Jerry West passed on him twice. You know, with the whole back thing, you know, not being in the war room, but just hearing that was, you know, the general.
Right. That was the thing,
yeah.
For me, that season, Porzingis was already hurt.
Right.
So I'm like, if KP is sitting anyway.
That was my thing, bro.
You can afford to let this dude sit for a year too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like that. If KP was healthy, then I'd be like, I don't know, we want to cook.
Yeah,
but Sun was already down for a year.
So you see, my thing was with KP already hurt. Could we afford to take another kid with a back injury who's going to be out as well?
I hear that too. I hear the logic.
You know that narrative with the media with like same old Knicks picking up these bum players.
And I'm sure that was running through their minds. Yeah. I'm sure that was running through Steve Mills' mind. Like, they're going to kill us if this kid don't work out.
Tough.
That kid was the number one kid in the world. I roll them dice.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I roll them dice.
Yeah, man. You know what I mean? Like, he's on the rise, man. Having a monster year right now for Denver, trying to pick it up with no Jamal Murray. Is there, you know, off season in mind? Is there a wish list? Do you have a top three? Is there someone that you really want to see on this team to help improve this team going into the off season?
Yeah, I mean, I love the idea of Lonzo. You know, I really wanted them to pull that trigger at the trade deadline, and I get it. You know, they can make something happen now without giving up too much. But sometimes that's the only thing I think with the new front office, which has been amazing. Mm-hmm. They've been amazing. I mean, clearly it's been a full 180. But I think they've been keeping their hand in their pocket a little too long. I think they've been, like you said, getting too cute with the pick. I think they've been getting too cute with the lack of moves. Like, yo, you know what? We're going to sit and chill. I don't sit and chill too long. You know what I'm saying? You see Shorty in the hallway at the school. You sitting chilling. All right.
Yeah.
You come through and scoop that. You know what I mean? And it's over. So I think they've been sitting chilling a little too much. You know, I think they should have bust that Buddy Hill move. You know, earlier in the year that was rumored.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should have bust. I mean, if you bust that Buddy Hill move and you bust that Lonzo move all before, you know, by the trade deadline, we're having a different discussion right now.
Because
they wasn't really giving up nothing real for it. You know what I mean? Like, based on the reports that was out, it wasn't going to be nothing real for it. It's not like you giving up RJ, you giving up Julius. You're not doing that.
Right.
You're not giving up nothing real for a guy that's knocking down 40%. And he just want to stand it, catch and shoot. Go for it. You know what I mean? He's not taking no shots and nothing away from RJ because RJ's not really shooting as much as I like him. You got a guy who could cover that. Boom. You don't got it? I got it. Boom. Yeah. I'm on. And then you got Lonzo running and setting it up, and he's whizzing passes by people. He wasn't really giving up nothing for it. I think we still playing right now if we bust those two moves. You know? So they just got to get their hand out their pocket a little bit.
I think they'll be a bit more aggressive this year. Like we said in the beginning, you know, the pressure's on right now. You know, the bar's been set. Last year was 21, now it's 41. Four seed. So the bar's been set. And so I think they'll be a lot more aggressive this year. Now, last year they went after their guys. They went after Hayward, Gordon Hayward. It wasn't my first choice, but they went after him. He would have been a better pick than Bullock, obviously. But they didn't meet his years and the money, so he went with MJ. They were interested in Malik Beasley. Minnesota came in and snapped him up right away.
I wanted them to see that, too.
Yeah, I would have taken Malik Beasley, bro. I would have taken Malik Beasley, man. Charges and
not. They need a sniper in the starting lineup, man.
Big time, bro.
Reggie Bullock is cool. You know, he definitely, you know, served his purpose, and it was a cheap contract and all that, but you need a guy that people are really, really afraid of as far as being a sniper in the starting lineup, you know, because Julius got an inside-out game. Okay, cool. RJ can't shoot, but he's a shooting guard, but he's 6'7", so you can move him up to the three if you have to, if you get a real, real sniper at the two. Or you leave Sun at the two, and you get a real sniper at the three. But somewhere, somebody got to be a sniper in that
starting
lineup.
We need a sniper in that start in the lineup, man. And, you know, the good thing about Lonzo, he has improved his three-point shooting. You know, you're going to get defense from him. Pick and roll, obviously, you'll get some better play there, which we badly need. And we need somebody that can push the rock in transition, man, because I look at RJ, OB, and Mitch as three guys that really need to, especially RJ. You got to get him going in transition to help him score the ball much easier. Yeah. OB as well. You have two players right now on rookie contracts on your team. You have to get them active. You know, RJ can get his threes and drive to the hoop, but OB especially, you need a guard that can push that pace and get him that rock in transition.
Because you look at what OB did in college, the reason why he won player of the year and all that, he had his man with him. I don't remember Duke's name, but he had the point guard kid with him.
Right.
And he said it when he got drafted, where he was like, yo, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Son.
Mm-hmm.
The Son was just setting the table. Boom. Mm-hmm. Are you over there? All right, boom, got you. You over there? Boom, got you. You do that with Obi, he's out of here. You know, you do that with an RJ, he's out of here. You even get Julius that help. Only thing I didn't like about Julius this year, and I thought he was great. His jersey is in the mail on the way to my crib any minute. I hated seeing him bring the ball up full court.
Oh, man, I still hate it. I hated it.
I'm like, dude, you're not a point guard, baby. Like, as nice as you've gotten,
you're
not a point guard, baby. Get that rock up. But on the other side, I get it. Because you may not have nobody that you really trust like that. Like, there was moments where, like, had to get a rebound, RJ would ever get a rebound, and he would call for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would call for it under the rim, like, yo, get that up.
Yeah.
And then he would bring it down the hole. I'm like, no, you get that up.
Nah.
You know what I mean? Like,
in the
go get
series
in position
against
and get
the
ready
a,
to
man.
Score two or three.
Yeah, in the series against Atlanta, he didn't even look like last year's Julius, turning it over. I don't need him bringing the rock up at all.
You know what I mean? We need a real point guard so that there's no excuse. If he's like, yo, get that up, like, nah, Duke, go over there, I got you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and then he can continue to cook and get his 25 a night or whatever, while Lonzo or somebody coming off with 8-9 dimes a night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's important. I don't want to see Son bringing the rock
me
up
neither.
No more. As much
me
as
neither,
I like
bro.
Son and he got busy, leave that alone.
Need a true point, man. So I'm putting Dame outside of the bubble, outside chance, and then inside I would put Lonzo. Can they get Brogdon? There was some Brogdon rumors circling around, you know, the trade deadline. We'll see if Indiana makes him available, see what they want to do. Jalen Brunson with the Mavs. I like him. You know, tough guy. You know, Rick Brunson played for the Knicks for a while. Jalen Brunson, part of the CAA family. I wouldn't be surprised if they snatched him up because Tibbs knows him. The relationship is already there. And, you know, he comes with a little less fanfare than Lonzo. You know what I mean? That's the only thing. If Lonzo's having some issues, you know the first thing media is doing, they run into LeVar to get that sound bite. And,
he's calmed down, though.
He's calmed down. He certainly has.
That light is on LaMelo so heavy right now.
True.
You know what I mean? Like,
They
want to talk about him. Obviously, if Lonzo's in New York, that's going to be the story because it's New York. But that light is on LaMelo so heavy right now. You know, I really want to see Lonzo come in because also, too, his age and his timeline matches.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Julius apparently are super tight from the Laker days.
I'm sure they're still
besties or whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of reasons why it makes sense. And Son is cool getting 10, 12 points if he just get to set the table and get his 10, 11 assists. And if we talking that, then, yo, sign that up. You know what I mean? Like, he can go get that 20-something, but he want to set the table. He want to be little baby Jason Kidd, and I'm all with that. And a point guard got to have a handle. You know what
gotta
I mean? Got to
have a
somebody
handle,
to come in this
bro.
Building with a wicked handle, man.
Yeah.
The years of, you know, heads having no handle in the city of handles. Like, what are we doing?
What are we
like,
doing, man?
The city of handles.
What are we doing, man?
Like, if it's one thing New York can do, basketball-wise,
you
go to any court, somebody will crack you up. Like, it's a city of handles. Yeah. What are we doing?
1,000%, man. That's something that I got to see RJ work on. It's something that I got to see Julius work on. RJ's trainer, Drew Hanlon, came out. Somebody asked him on Twitter today what RJ was going to be working on in the offseason. He said finishing at the rim, which I 100% on board with, and drip pull up off the dribble. You know, need that.
I need taking 1,000 a day, man.
Need that, bro.
If you're a shooting guard, you got to be able to shoot, guard. Yeah. You know what I mean? You got to be able to go for it. Like, I need him to be shooting 1,000 a day, man. That jumper got to get for real. I like RJ a lot, man. I really wanted us to get that pick, and I support him, and I'm with him, but I need that jumper, man. I need that lefty James Harden thing, man, for real.
He's got to get something in the in-between, man, because catch and shoot, he's fine from three, and he's improved a great deal. You know, got all the way up to 40%, which is fantastic. But, you know, you can't always bully your way into the paint.
Right.
And DeAndre Hunter was on him in that Hawks series for some, and even Bogdanovich, and they had no parts of it. And he wasn't. He has no touch around the rim. So I'd like to see him get something in the mid-range, get a nice little pull-up jump shot, couple, you know, two dribble pull-up, and try to master something like that. You saw during the season he was trying to work on that and master that within the mid-range, free throw line extended. So he's got to keep going to that, man, so he can have something in the intermediate.
Yeah, and I think he will, because he seemed like a hard worker.
Yeah.
He seemed like he keep his head down and get his lunch pail and go to work. He don't seem too above anything. I think he will.
Yeah.
You know, if there's anybody that I see improving the way Julius did, maybe not that fast, but, you know, really getting on that trajectory, it would be RJ. I totally see him going to war this summer. So I'm not super worried. I just wanted to kick in.
Agreed. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. CP and Sky Zoo rapping on the Knicks. We're also going to talk about his upcoming album dropping this Friday, All the Brilliant Things. So definitely look out for that. If you guys want to call in and talk Knicks, ask Sky Zoo any questions, 657-383-1509 is the number. You could also check in via the Knicks Fan TV Discord. First call up, I got to go to my guy Papa Left in the building. Papa Left, what's going on, bro?
Yo, two legends in the building, man. Respect to you guys. Sky Zoo, been down ever since I started picking up a pen, and I discovered you through those circles. And man, you're just a legend, and you're a Knicks fan, which is
thank you, man. Thank you for the words, man. I appreciate that, man. Thank you for the support and the love over the years. And you know, we rocking and rolling. Knicks fan all day. Even though people probably watching, like, yo, we got the Penny joint. We got a Magic Johnson joint in the corner. How you Knicks fan? Nah, those are tags. Hey, that's why they up.
Hey, here. Penny was my favorite player, bro. Penny was my favorite player, man.
Listen.
You know, I love the Knicks, but Penny was my guy.
Penny's still my favorite player.
Yeah, 100%, man.
100%. For real, that's my man right there. Word up. But thank you. Yeah, I don't want to cut the call off. Thank you. Thank you for the love, brother.
No, you're good. I got a hip-hop metaphor-themed question. You know, Knicks obviously need a point guard this year, and I feel like they need like a ninth wonder style, like floor general, someone just to set people up. And I wanted to get your thoughts on who you want to see be the point guard for next year. And I do have a bone to pick with CP about Kyle Lowry. I feel like he throws his reputation in the garbage because he doesn't want a 36-year-old point guard. But I feel like Lowry's a little bit better.
I agree with CP on that, man. I like Kyle Lowry a lot. But to do that, if we're going to get anybody that's 36, let his name be Chris Paul. Let it be the other CP.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying, bro.
Yeah.
Give me CP3 or just sign D. Rose.
Right. They got to bring D. Rose back. I like, just going back to my man's question, like we were saying earlier, definitely Lonzo. I like the Lonzo idea because you're going to have to pay him, but you're not going to have to pay him what you're going to pay Chris Paul or Kyle Lowry. Granted, you know, Chris Paul would be great.
Yeah.
At some point, Father Time is going to kick in. He's doing all this defying Father Time stuff and all that, which is great, but that's going to kick in at some point. And we've been on the tail end of them guys a lot. We had T-Mac.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We've been on the tail end of those
legends
a lot. When
are we going to get something for the future, for the now and the future, bro? I'm still waiting. Still waiting, bro.
In a long time. The last point guard to give us numbers that I need from my guy every day, even though he wasn't who we thought would be it long term and he didn't wind up being it, was Raymond Felton when he was averaging 17-9.
Great, Phil.
If you're giving me 17-9 a night, bro, you know what I'm saying? Like, you give me 17 points, 9 assists a night in the Garden? Listen, we all here, baby. What we doing? You know what I mean?
It's
and that's not saying Ray Felton was the end-all, be-all. But numbers is numbers. You know what I mean?
Like, we just had no stability at the position, man. I don't see how we could move forward without it, man. It's that important. Unless you're getting somebody at, you know, at the three, or you know, that could do something like a LeBron James. But that's a dime a dozen, man. To me, it starts with the point until you can get there, man.
100%.
So it starts with the point. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. I want to shout out the Rhyme Animal, Chuck D, in the chat.
Man.
Vibing with the people. Chuck. He said, big up to Skyzoo and Dumbo. Station album last year. We played all of his music at Rap Station. So shout out to Rhyme Animal, Chuck D, man.
Chuck, always support, man. Always support. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you always. It's an honor and a privilege to be tapped in with you, so much love always.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Chuck never misses a show, man. He's been the number one fan of Knicks Fan TV.
I peeped that. Yeah, I peeped that.
Biggest champion, biggest supporter, and this year, you know, part of this special year has been Chuck and the contributions that he's made, nice. And really opening doors for me, man. So I can't thank him enough. So salute to Chuck. Hope you're doing well. And all right, so we talk current day Knicks. But let's go back in time. Like, what was your earliest memories of being a fan? Like, how did you come to becoming a diehard Knicks fan?
I was born in it. You know, my pops, Knicks fan, used to go to the Garden. He always talk about how you show your high school ID and get a ticket for $3. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and Chuck probably knows, because they're around the same age. Right. My pops in his late 50s, you know. So he's like, man, Sky, I used to go to the Garden, and if you had your high school ID on Tuesdays and Thursdays, the ticket was $3. You know what I mean?
Wish.
Shit like that. So it was instilled in me, you know what I mean? So, but for me, it was obviously the early 90s. It was, you know, by that time I was, you know, 10 years old or whatever. So it was the early 90s, that 92, 93 and all that. And, you know, Ewing and Starks and Oak and, you know, just that run, you know. Yep. And for me, man, I got my heart broke 2 years in a row, because 93, 94, when the Knicks went and they lost, broke my heart.
Yeah.
Then 94, 95, my man went and he got rocked.
Yeah.
But 2 years in a row, the Rockets, to this day, I don't mess with that team, man, because they broke my heart 2 years in a row. I'm a little kid getting my heart broke twice, you know what I mean? So, you know, but with the Knicks, man, it's just been forever, you know. And then, obviously, we had the awful kind of early 2000s, mid-2000s, where it was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It was just – but then
weird is the right word. Weird is the right word for 2000s.
It was weird. Dude, as a diehard Knicks fan, there's a lot of guys on that team I don't remember we had. Like, if you ask me to rattle off those mid guys, besides my man Jamal Crawford, who's my bro, that's
right,
my man.
Right. Shout out JC, man.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't remember a lot of them guys who was there, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was weird times, man. That was like upside down world. You know what I mean? It was Stranger Things. For
bizarro
real.
World,
weird.
Right?
It was weird. It was Bizarro Jerry, man. It was weird, man. But, you know, and then, you know, we get to the 2010s and my bro Mello, you know, some people know Mello is my man. So, like, my bro Mello comes in and now we really cooking. Now it's like, you know what I mean? And, you know, it was highs and lows. They put my man through the ringer, man. As everybody knows, the stories is out there. They put my man through the ringer. But one thing I could say is the way that dude stood tall for the city and the way he wanted it was like nobody I had ever seen when it came to that type of situation. Like, he really wanted it, you know. So every time I get to talk about him, I let that be known for the people who don't know, for somebody who know him personally.
Dope.
He wanted it. You know what I mean? They had to drive him out the building. Like, he wanted it, man. Mm-hmm. Kicking and screaming. Like, now I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm loyal. I signed up for this. It's whatever. You know what I mean? We in the fight until it's over. So, you know, shout to the bro. But it's always been, you know, it's been the Knicks regardless, man. A lot of heartache. Like, I know you've been through, bro. And, you know, you know, we here now.
100%. 100%. Was Melo your favorite Knick?
Melo, definitely. Melo and Earl of Pearl, even though I didn't get to see him play
because
I was young. But just YouTube and highlights and the stories. I love Earl.
Yeah.
Love Earl, man. Clyde, too, of course, you know, but Melo and Earl. Earl, man, you know
Pearl,
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, he got like a he got game scene. Like, Earl was
100%.
It, man. Earl was it.
I would say from the 90s, it's a combination of Mason and Ewing. You know, being Jamaican, obviously, Ewing, that's a cult figure in the community. And then Mace, you know, just the talents of Mace.
Absolutely.
The rugged, the finesse, you know, the combination of power and finesse, the style, you know, Mace was everything, man. He was New York on the court.
I was just about to say that.
You know what
like,
I'm saying?
When you look at when you look at the personality of New York in the early and mid 90s, that was Mason.
That was
you know
Mason.
What I mean? Like,
that was Mason.
The same way when you look at the personality of the Knicks later, when that run, that 12-13 run, when it was Melo, Amari, Tyson, Shump, JR.
Yeah.
That was New York City.
Yeah.
The swag, the vibe, that was new. I always said that team felt more like a Brooklyn team than the Brooklyn team at that time. You know what I mean? Like, Dan Williams, who I liked a lot, you know, all of Joe Johnson, they was kind of stiff and whatever, and, you know, real, you know, sheltered. And that team, when you had JR and Shump going back and forth, boom, boom, and then you had Melo doing what he did, you had Amari, and it was just this swagged out but hard, gritty, fly team. I was like, yo, we got the more Brooklyn team than them. You know what I mean? Like, that team represented New York. And the same thing with the 90s, man. Like, Mason represented for real.
Man, rest in peace to Mace, man. Mace Mondays. I still keep in contact with his son, Antoine. He was on this show, too. I had him on the show. And I just reposted Bobito. I posted a dope Mason tribute on Instagram. I just threw it up on my Instagram. So if you guys in the chat want to check it out, definitely check it out. Leave a comment. And rest in peace to Mace once again. Let's get to the phones. Let me hear from my guy Ari from Manhattan. Ari, what's going on, bro?
Hey, what's up, CP? What's up, Sky Zoo? How you guys doing?
Peace.
Good, bro. How you doing, man?
Good. So here, I have two things I want to talk about. First, I'll go into like whether the season was a success or failure, and then I'll talk about the free agency. But in my opinion, because, you know, I've been all over the Instagram, and, you know, apparently if you criticize the Knicks in any way, you're just a hater, apparently. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know why that is. But, listen, man, I think the season was a success, okay? The season of the 2020-2021 season was a success. We made the playoffs. No one thought we would do it. We overachieved. Coach of the Year, Randall balled out. It was a success. Now, the only issue I have is that now because the season was a success, now everybody's in win now mode, and I'm just not in win now mode because I just know we don't have enough pieces to actually compete with the Brooklyn Nets, with the Denver Nuggets when Murray gets back, with the Clippers and stuff like that. And I'm just very upset that everyone's trying to, like, you know, extend Julius Randle before we even have to. Let's just extend Julius Randle after he had the worst playoffs ever. Let's give him $25 million a year. Then let's give Lonzo Ball, you know what? We'll give Lonzo Ball $20 million a year. You know, Lonzo, you could have it. You want to bring Mitch back? Let's give him $15 million a year, $10-15 million a year the next 4 years. You know what? We might as well bring Frank back. Let's just bring Frank back.
I know Scott's just like, hell no.
What are we talking about? Like, I'm not trying to be a four seed for the next 4 years, man. Right? Like, I just not.
That treadmill.
Lonzo Ball's a great player, all right? I would love to have Lonzo on the team. But I'm not extending Randall, and I'm not signing Lonzo Ball. I'm gonna freak out if that happens, man.
Ari, you got to expect that they're going to make upgrades to the team, bro. They're not going to tank.
Yes.
They're not going for the bottom. No. They're going to try to maintain or exceed where they were, whether that's realistic or not.
I understand that. That's fine, but you got to do it in a way like they did last year, right? They improved last year without compromising their future cap. For, you know, this is like, now we are finally a functional team with a culture. Now we actually have potentially the capabilities to actually get free agents to come here. Why would we throw $45 million into one guy who's a third option on a team and Lonzo Ball, who's like a good point guard, but he's not like Damian Lillard or Chris Paul or anything like that. I think it's ridiculous. So in my opinion, I would go for guys like Dennis Schroeder, who just had a terrible playoff.
I'm not going for Schroeder, man.
You could get him for cheaper. You could get him for cheaper, man. Or Kendrick Nunn. Or, you know,
Get me Jalen Brunson before both of them.
I would do Jalen Brunson, too. But what I'm saying is, like, this whole, like, and if I'm doing Jalen Brunson and I'm signing someone, like, I don't know how, I'm sure he's not going to cost as much as Lonzo, but if he's going to cost some money, I'm not extending I'm not extending Randall regardless this season. Like, honestly,
I want to ask. So you letting Randall walk after this season? Because you know he got the one more season. You letting him walk?
Not necessarily. So I'm saying I'm picking up his option. I'm seeing how a half a season goes with fans in the stands without COVID restrictions.
Yeah.
When people now have tape on him. Now I have a scouting report on him. I want to see if he could actually do it again.
I'm with that.
All right? Yeah. And if he's not doing it, then I would trade him. I would trade him by the deadline. And let's say he is doing it, right? And he does it all the way, and he earns, and he does it in the playoffs, and he comes through in the playoffs, then I'll give him a max bag. But I'm just not like, you don't even have to give him a max bag necessarily, because he could be like the D'Angelo Russell, you know what I mean? Like, up for a new deal, max player, but there's better free agents on the market, and you could prioritize them less. Like, there's other options, but we have to keep the cap clean. And we have, you know, whatever. Yeah. That's my take.
All right, bro. Appreciate the call. Listen, I still think they're going to be responsible in making moves this offseason. It's not to say that they're just going to blow the whole thing and spend all the $60 million that they have and, you know, all the trade. I don't think they're going to do nothing crazy like that. But I do think they're going to make one or two acquisitions.
Well, they have to.
They
have to show we're going upward. We're not being complacent.
Correct.
We're not trying to be on a treadmill. And like the thing that, you know, homie said, I agree with a lot of what he said on there. You know, when you look at the Julius thing, you got to say, okay, let's give him another run and see what he can do.
Yeah.
Because those lights got real bright and real hot. Let's see how he bounces back from that. So like he said, with fans in the stands and all that stuff, like, let's see how that goes. The thing about it, what the Knicks got to be careful with, they got to show loyalty to what they have to everybody around the league that's watching.
You're selling to other people. You're selling to other people.
If players see the season Randle had, and as players, they empathize with one another. So they're like, yo, son got busy during the season. He was playing 40 minutes a night. Playoff came, and he kind of shrunk under the moment. Yo, man, he never been there before. He never been in the playoffs. He was doing all that work. He ain't had no help. So players around the league is empathizing with son, and they watching like, yeah, I get it, because I know what it's like to be in that position. And if they see the Knicks not show son no loyalty, they're going to be, wait a minute. He went crazy, went hard over the summer, got busy, came back, most improved, and y'all got rid of Son? Y'all only re-signed him? So you got to be careful. Like, they might have to do a little something for Son just to make sure that other players see, oh, okay, they treat their players right.
Yeah.
I'm down to go over there.
So it's a tricky situation,
tricky. I know
bro.
It's weird and it seems political, but they're going to have to keep that type of stuff in mind. And Leon know that because he was an agent. So he knows
the game.
How heads think.
He knows
the game.
So it's a tricky situation, bro. I'm with Ari, though. You pick up the player option. See how he does again next year. Is it 2019 Randle or is it 2020 Randle? Hopefully it's the latter. But you got to be careful. You got to
because
be
he might see that as disrespect. Like same way Paul George was like, yo, the Lakers ain't want to trade for me?
Yeah.
All right, cool. I ain't going there. So it's the same thing where he'd be like, oh, word? Y'all ain't want to throw me that extension just because I had 2 weeks of bad basketball, but I saved the season and I brought us back to life and I sold more jerseys and everything. Oh, word? All right. I'm out. I'm going to Dallas where I'm from. I'm going to so-and-so. You know what I mean?
That's like, a risk. You let him go into unrestricted free agency. That's a risk, too. So
be careful about that.
From what I was reading, if they were to extend him with this option, I think the max would start. It would be like a low-end max, like a $28 million type of deal, which I think would account for like the 40th highest paid salary in the league. It wouldn't even be crazy. You know what I'm saying? That wouldn't even be crazy. That'd be a steal. So if he took it, I would sign him to that, you know.
Yeah. And you got to think, does he take it coming off of what he came off of?
Right.
Like, wait a minute, let me secure this paper.
How does he play?
Because
how does he
this
play
thing got
game?
Real bad in the playoffs. Let me secure it as opposed to waiting out and trying to get that 205 or whatever. Yeah, let me get this one, whatever. You know what I mean? Let me get this 100-something mil for 4 years to secure this paper.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
hopefully he'll be with that.
So it's going to be interesting to see, man. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up on the free boys. CP and Skyzoo in the building. Remember, this show is presented by Manscaped, fellas, the number one men's grooming tool from below the waist. This is the new Lawnmower 4.0, fellas. You know this is my go-to right here. Comes with the ceramic blade, skin-safe technology to cut down on those nicks. Not the bad Knicks, not the good Knicks, the bad Knicks. You know what I'm saying? You got to be careful. Comes with the LED light, man, now. It's a spotlight, so you could do it in the dark, whatever you into, man. If the lights go out in the house, you could use it as a flashlight too, man. Great battery life. It comes wireless or wired charging, so great battery life as well. And, yeah, man, as usual, you know my guys at Manscaped are taking care of you guys. 20% off plus free shipping. If you go to manscaped.com, enter promo code Knicks. Once again, manscaped.com, promo code Knicks for 20% off plus free shipping. All right, just got to pay the bills, guys. You know what I'm saying? Just pay the bills.
Nah, it's all good. I get it, man. I get it. My man on the last call mentioned Francis, man.
Yeah, I know. When we were in the A, man, that was the last thing you said before we parted ways.
That
we got to get rid of Frank.
That kid, man. listen, shout to Ash, who, when I'm watching, I'm like, yeah, you get it. You get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you understand. Man, that kid, first of all, I ain't never going to be mad at no black man out here making some money and living his dreams and getting in the league. Mm-hmm. That kid, yo, I got a, on my computer, I keep an AirFrance.com tab open. So if ever a flight is needed for this guy to go back, I'm prepared. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm prepared, and I know half the chat is probably Frank fans.
Yeah, there's some Frank Hives in there.
I feel bad for y'all. I got an Air France page up right now. The moment it's a go, I'm ready to purchase that flight for son to get up out of here, B. That guy needs – man, listen. Listen, B.
I don't know if they're going to keep him.
Hope not, man.
They have the team option on him.
Man, he got nine lives, man.
Yeah.
He got nine lives. Yeah. He going to survive trade after trade after trade.
Yeah.
He got nine lives, man. I give it to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That kid got to go, man. Like, come on, B. How many chances? You 6'7", 6'6", you got a 7-foot wingspan. Can't figure it out?
Can't figure it out, man.
Got all the tools, Frank, B. You got tools like my man right out, here.
And you know plays defense. And as you said, it's something in practice that Tibbs didn't see, that Mike Miller didn't really see, and to a certain extent, Fizdale didn't see.
I'm glad you brought that back up. Man, yo, you looking at the most defensive-minded coach ever in the history of the league, probably.
Has no
use
for the
kid. This is a dream come true. Yo, I got a kid who all he do is play defense?
Yeah.
I got the guard version of Joakim Noah? Yo, come on, let's go. You know what I mean? Like, all he want to do is block and guard and steal and that. You can't crack under him.
He's not getting
the whole hive needs, should be like, yo, we out. I get it now. We out. What are your chances? You got a guy who was catered to this guy as far as coaching. You got the perfect coach. All he want to do is preach defense. You can't crack that?
Yeah.
Come on, B. It's down the plane, B.
It's unfortunate, man.
He ain't a bum, man. That kid's a bit of it at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. That kid's a bit of it at all. You know what I mean? Like,
Let's get to the Discord. We got a call coming in from the Discord. Dave Noddy, you up next. Go ahead and unmute your mic. Dave Noddy, what's going on, Dave? Dave going once. It's a little delay on Discord. Yo, yo.
What's really good with y'all?
Yo, what's good, my dude?
Chilling, man. First of all, just wanted to say appreciate the job that you do.
Yep. Appreciate, bro. You
put us down out here. You know what I mean? And I appreciate you. SK, man. How you feeling?
Peace.
Health-wise, like, I know you had a... I know you was in the hospital recently. You feeling good now? Everything all good?
Yeah, you know, I had a polyp on my throat over the summer. Yeah, and, you know, so I had to have vocal cord surgery and all that. But thank God it all went smooth, as you can hear. I'm back to normal.
Yeah.
You know, I had the surgery. They got rid of the polyp. Thank God it wasn't cancerous. I couldn't speak for a month. So it was wild. Like, for a month, I was walking around the house with a dry erase board, like having conversations, writing them down. It was the worst thing ever, man. So, you know, don't take this for granted. And I don't smoke. It just happened from, like, touring so much. A lot of times people, you know, you have that situation and people assume you're smoking or whatever. I don't smoke at all, you know. So it just was from touring. You know, I've been touring since 08, you know what I mean? So religiously. Overseas in the States, whatever, every year. So, you know, it came down on me. But, you know, I appreciate you checking in and asking on that, man. I'm all the way good, as y'all can hear. I'm all the way live. Back to it.
That's what's up, man. Good to hear.
Word up. Appreciate it.
I'm gonna run through it quick
because
I know you got other people on the line and whatnot. But first off, for you, Sky, that Retropolitan LPB, listen.
Yeah.
Yo, you put your whole foot in that joint, fam.
Thank you, bro.
Obviously,
thank you. Me and Pete Rock. Shout out to everybody who copped Retropolitan.
Man, you know he's going to come with the heat, but you definitely killed it, too. It's all good. Eastern Conference All-Stars, you put it in, man.
Yeah.
So, good joint.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. You tapped in, man. You tuned in. I appreciate that.
Of course. Listen, man, I've been hearing you since you, quote unquote, had a mother's putting up Sky Zoo posters.
You going back almost 20 years, man. That's real. Salute to my man on the line. That's real.
You've been out here, man.
That's real.
But on the new joint, real quick, and then I have one next question afterwards, and then I'll let y'all rock.
Mm-hmm.
On the new joint, what producers you got on there?
I got a lot of up and comers, man. A lot of new dudes. My man, Mark Infinite, who's done a bunch of stuff for me in the past, but he's still relatively new. who's that? Thelonious Martin out of Chicago. He's done a bunch of stuff, but he, you know, he's on the come up cooking and all that. Who else is on the joint, man? My man Twami. Twami is crazy.
Yeah,
it's a lot of guys who are like on the scene, but still under the radar a little bit, but got a ton of work out there. And the reason behind it was I wanted the driving force of this record to really just be what I'm speaking about and really be what you hear and not, oh, he got so-and-so on it, he got so-and-so on it. That's why it's not a lot of features. You know, I got some R&B features like Raheem Devon is singing on it, BJ the Chicago Kid is singing on it, Hypnotic Brass Ensemble, who's a jazz hip-hop band, they're playing trumpets all over it. There's no rappers on it. You know, it's a story that I wanted to tell. And if you didn't live on my block with me, then you can't tell it. You know, like you wasn't there, like Cam would say. You know what I mean? Like, you can't tell it.
Yeah.
So I purposely went just after certain sounds and didn't really look for names because I wanted the narrative to be about the story as opposed to, well, who's involved? You know what I mean? And I know, especially for people like you, you've been tapped in almost 20 years. I know you're going to get it. I know people like yourself is going to get it. So that was the thinking behind it.
Yeah. Nah, I feel you. I mean, granted, I didn't grow up in the city. I grew up in Rockland County. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I've seen how
it's New York. It's all New York. You know what I mean? So you're going to get it regardless.
For real. So that's what's up. Good luck. And then last thing for me, next question. I know this might be kind of like left from the, you know, the popular conversation that Katz is talking about as far as like guards and whatnot. But I don't know. Y'all could tell me if I'm going crazy here, but I feel like we should keep Taj and I feel like we should keep Mitch. And I feel like we should shop or just let Noel walk. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not to say that I don't appreciate what Kat did this year. You know what I mean? Like, stepping in for Mitch and all that. You know what I mean? But I just feel like he's just not agile. You know what I mean? Like, he getting outworked under the rim. He's never boxing out. We know his hands is made of pure butter. You know what I mean? Parquet out here. You feel me? Like,
yeah.
No lies.
Let me know what y'all think. But I'll see y'all, yo.
All right.
Thanks for taking the
call. Peace and love. Peace and love.
Appreciate the call, bro.
Pete Rock, Q-Tip.
Yes, sir.
We here.
Yes, sir. We in here, man. Thanks for the call, man. Thanks for the call. I mean, look, I think on the Noel thing, you know, I think, yes, he had his deficiencies, right? Couldn't catch worth of anything. Couldn't catch nothing. Couldn't catch a cold. But we also evaluated him from a backup standpoint. You know, he came in, locked heavy starters minutes, was injured every game, still gave it his all. But ideally, he should be getting half the time he's getting. Yeah. And maybe he'd be more effective. So he might get a multi-year deal. I think they'll have to gauge the market for him. Taj is Taj. You know, Taj has been a warrior. Brooklyn for Green, Sizu, obviously. But, you know, I love bringing Taj back. You know, he's going to be 37, I think. I mean, as a backup.
From a mentorship standpoint, at that, you know what I mean? It's got to be more mentoring than anything. The fact that we were starting him in the playoffs, and I like Taj, love, but we keeping it a bean. It's like, ooh,
yeah,
you know what
that
I mean?
Hurt us,
like,
man. It hurt
you got Clint Capella going crazy, nice little 26, 27 year old going nuts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so if Taj is back, it's got to be mentoring. He's got to be getting little to no minutes and just really being that mentor in practice and on the bench. I like Nerlens from, you know, defensively. I mean, he was blocking everything.
Right.
I mean, he had nights where, as much as he can't catch nothing, he had nights where he was blocking
everything, bro.
So you like, damn, he ain't doing this, but he's doing that, though. You know what I mean?
Right,
so it gets weird. And like you said, as a backup center, he might really, really serve that purpose.
Yeah.
We got to figure this starting center thing out, man. I like Mitch a lot, but at the same time, the durability, has he developed enough? You know, we know if he was extremely raw pause, you know, coming out, you know, the draft, and it still seems that way a little bit. And we like him because I think we like the potential, you know, but has the development gotten there? Health, you can't really predict, and that sucks and whatever, but has he really gotten it develop-wise? And I don't know, but we need that starting center to be figured
need
out.
It.
You know what I mean? Like,
We
need that figured out, man, because these guys is coming in. Joel Embiid is coming in, you know, like these guys is coming in. The Joker is coming in. You know,
and that's
even DeAndre Ayton, they coming in, and it's time, you got to be ready.
And that's the tough thing with Mitch, man, is because the injury set him back again, you know, because we really haven't been able to see him a full year, you know, developing and getting better, you know.
Right.
So that's the unfortunate thing. But let's talk about you, man. The last caller mentioned the project, all the brilliant things coming out this Friday as well. Yeah. Let's start from the origin story. You know, for the fans that might be watching that don't know your story, let's start with the name. You know, how did you get the name Sky Zoo? Where did that come from?
Oh, man. So the way I got my name is Skyler, S-K-Y-L-E-R. Mm-hmm. And so Skyler or Sky for short. And as a kid growing up, you know, I was a toddler, and there was a group. It was a disco group who I wasn't old enough to even remember the music like that at the time, but there was a disco group in the early 80s named Sky. It was S-K-Y-Y. And they used to put Sky on the front of all their songs or albums. It was kind of like part of their brand. So it would be like Skyline and Skyport and Skyrocket and stuff like that. And they had a song called Sky Zoo. And in the beat, there was a kazoo playing. So that's what the zoo came from. And it was a straight up disco record. And they were from Brooklyn and all that. And, you know, my family, cousins and aunts and people in the house would call me Sky Zoo as a nickname when I was like 2-3 years old after the song. And it stuck, you know. So when I started rhyming years later, I started rhyming when I was 9. When I started rhyming, I knew nobody would have it. It was so unorthodox. Like, I knew nobody would have it, you know. And then as I got older, so I'm young, 20, 21, shopping deals, shopping demos back in the demo days and trying to get on. And I would take meetings with people. And I remember taking meetings with majors, and they would be like, yo, your music is crazy. But, yo, you ever thought about changing your name? And I'd be like, nah. And they'd be like, yo, your name is so weird. It's different. Nah. And my response to them was, yo, you got an AZ. You got a Jay-Z. You got a 50 Cent. You got some weird names out here. And those guys made millions off of it and became household names. We'd be all right. You know what I mean? And now we all right. It all worked out. It worked out. So I'm good, you know, but that's where my name came from. I know nobody would have it.
That's dope, man. You unique indeed. Shout out my guy JD Sports Talk. Sends a super chat. He says, Sky Zoo, let us know who was your inspiration growing up and your top five all time.
Oh, man, my inspiration. I started rhyming at 9 off of Chi Ali. If the fans in the chat know, Chi Ali was part of the Native Tongues movement, Tribe Called Quest, and you know, Black Sheep and all those guys, all those legends. And, man, I'm at home watching Video Music Box. And if Chuck is still in the chat, Chuck, no. You know what I mean? Absolutely. I'm watching Video Music Box on a Saturday, and AJ Nothing But a Number comes on. This 14-year-old kid rhyming, and I was like, yo, what is that? And I was stuck. And right away, I started rapping. I was like, that's what I want to do with the rest of my life. I played ball a little bit. I did little things and, you know, whatever. But it was always about the music. So that was how I got started. But my inspirations as far as becoming an MC and getting to where I am lyrically, you know, I grew up a block away from Biggie. You know, I'm seeing him on my hat. I grew up on St. James. So, you know, Big, Jay, Nas, that whole trinity.
Of course.
Black Thought, you know, Black Star, Mos Def and Quali.
Yeah.
All those guys. The Genius had a huge hold on my upbringing coming up when Liquid Swords and all that dropped. Of course, Ray. Purple Tape, you know, all that. And when I started really, really getting into my pen, it was about wanting to make sure I upheld that kind of legacy that those guys was leaving. Even as a kid at 12, 13 years old, my thing was what they was doing. You know, they took it there, so I got to take it there. Like, that was how I looked at it, and that's why I'm where I am now. Top five, I think I named them all, man. Big J, Nas, Thought, Mos, Qua, as in Quali, 3000. That fifth spot always fluctuates.
Yeah, okay.
You know I mean, all like right, right. That 4 and 5, that it always fluctuates. Yeah. You know what I mean? But those type of guys. Anybody watching, you know what type of time I'm on by the people I just named.
I'm glad you put Thought in there, man, because I feel like he doesn't get enough credit, man. Black Thought is so raw. One of my favorite artists for sure.
He's a phenom.
Man.
He's a phenom, for real.
1,000%.
He was on my album, Music for My Friends a couple years ago.
Okay.
That's my man. Yeah.
What about the Locks, man?
Love the Locks.
Favorite group of all time for me.
Favorite group of all time. Without a doubt. You know, I had a line years ago on a freestyle. I said, thought Jadakiss was Jesus. I just wanted to be the Locks. You know what I mean? When I was a kid, that was it. Like, you couldn't tell me nothing about the Locks.
Yeah.
Still to this day. And now those are my guys. Like, I got records with Styles, records with Jada. Like, those are my guys. Man. But, like, that's my favorite group ever.
Me too. Me too, bro. Hands down, favorite group of all time is the Locks, man. No doubt about it. Shout out Flo Hypnotic in the chat. He sends a super chat. He says, Salvation is all-time classic. Salute to Sky Zoo, the legend.
Thank you. That's my debut joint from 2009. I appreciate that.
Chuck D the Rhyme Animal says, super chat, he says, Sky Zoo, get the man's catalog while picking up all the brilliant things. Retropolitan with Pete Rock in celebration of us. The Easy Truth. Music for my friends. That was a debut, right? Music for my friends?
That was what?
Your debut album.
No, The Salvation was my debut.
Salvation was his debut.
Yeah, but Music for My Friends is in there. Yeah, yo, Chuck is the best, man. Like, you got Chuck D rattling all this off.
Oh, he could be doing Dream Deferred.
A million other things, and you know what I mean? Chuck is the best, man.
It's Dream Deferred, Milestones, The Bluest Note, Peddler Themes, etc. So Chuck is in here rolling off the entire catalog, man.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, come on, B. That's 100%.
Papa Left sends a super chat. He says, Skies, you will tell you the money on the AV can't hold cap space forever. Don't be afraid to spend the bag in free agency if the right player wants MSG.
Shout out to the homie. He took it back. I know what he's talking about, this record I did with Rex, with my man Rex, Money on the AV.
Okay.
Shout out to the homie. Yeah, people tapped in. I see it.
Yeah, man. The people definitely tapped in. We've seen a couple hashtags Sky Zoo in the chat as well, man. So salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. So we talked about your hip-hop inspirations. How about off the mic, you know, in life? Who are the mentors or the people that, you know, really inspired you to get to where you are today?
Oh, outside of music, you know, I talk about my pops a lot. My parents, really, because I was one of the kids in my neighborhood. You know, it was like Trey and Boys in the Hood, where I had both parents. And, you know, they weren't in the same house. I would go back and forth, but I had both parents. But then also, too, you watch, like, Everybody Hate Chris, how it was like one dad on the whole block, two dads on the whole block. That was my pop. It was my pops, and my man had his pops across the street. And that was it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was it, man. So, you know, I say all that to say definitely my pops.
Yeah.
Just having a pops in the crib 24/7. Definitely my pops. Spike Lee, of course. You know, I got a record called Spike Lee was my hero.
Yeah.
My bro, Talib Kweli. So Spike has always been a huge inspiration for me. And now Spike is my man off of the record. You know, when I did the record years ago, he reached out and we got super tight. And to this day, that's big bro. Man, and I'm a huge jazz head. You know, anybody who really, really knows my catalog and knows my story, you know I'm a huge jazz head. So I find inspiration in that. I actually listen to more jazz than hip hop. You know, being a hip hop artist, being a rapper, being a ghostwriter and all that stuff, I listen to more jazz than I do hip hop. You know what I mean? So it doesn't take any slight away from it. I think it bigs it up.
Yeah.
You can find inspiration in one form of music and put it into another.
For sure.
It shows the power of the two and how they connect, whether you realize it or not, you know, so.
True story, man. Now, shout out your pops' food truck in the A, too, man, for the people that might be watching ATL, in the Atlanta area. Yeah, ATL Seafood.
That's my pops. You know, that's the family business, you know what I mean? So my pops is really, really moving. You know, he's cooking, for lack of a better term, no pun intended.
Yeah.
It's going crazy. So,
ATL
you know,
Blue Water Seafood.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, on the gram, ATL Blue Water Seafood, no E in the blue. So if you live in Atlanta or in the Atlanta areas, you know, he out every weekend and getting busy and working on another truck and working on a brick and mortar spot and all that. And, you know, so it's dope, man. You know what I mean? So, you know, we doing a couple things, you know what I mean?
True story, man. TM, if you're in the chat, or Dave, go ahead and drop the link. ATL Blue Water Seafood, go ahead and drop the Instagram link in the chat.
He'll get a kick out of that. I'll be like, yo, boom, boom. He'll be like, oh, word? You know what I mean? So he'll get a kick out of that.
100%. Now, your father, as you say, was your hero now, but back in the day when you were trying to chase your dreams, you know, he kind of pulled you back from some opportunities, man. One in particular, Rough Riders story, or the Bad Boy story was more about your mom's, but you know, talk about that a little bit.
Just being young, man, and you know, the crazy thing about the Rough Riders thing, I don't think he knows it because he was just out of the house when that happened. Like, so I was, 15, 16, and I'm on Jamaica Ave because at this point, my pops had moved to Queens, the South Side. Shout out to the whole South Side, Jamaica, Queens. That's my second home, for real. Everybody know I'm a Brooklyn guy.
Shout out to Kyle.
But you also know I'm that's my second home, 165, the Kylo, all that. You know what I mean? So anyway, I'm on Jamaica Ave in high school, and I see this dude, Rough Rider shirt or whatever he might have had on, and wound up conversing with him, having a conversation, and he had me battle some kid right on the spot. Battle some kid right on Jamaica Ave by the McDonald's, crushed him, whatever. And, you know, Duke took my house number because I'm 16 and it's 98, 99. So it's a house number, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So Duke took my house number, was calling me, and, you know, he was like, yo, I'm in the lab right now. I want you to come down, come to Yonkers, come to Yonkers. I'm 16. I got my little nine-year-old brother. My parents is out the house that night on date night or whatever, and I'm watching my little brother, and I'm like, we got to go from Queens to Yonkers. That's like an hour and a half train ride. That's like five trains. And he was like, yo, everybody here, yo, the Locks here, Eve here, Swiss here, everybody here. So I'm going crazy. Like, yo, the Locks is there? Like, I ain't hear nobody else's name after that. You know what I mean? But I couldn't bust that move because I was like, I got my little brother. If I was Dolo, if my little brother wasn't at the house, I'd have been gone. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I'm 16, babysitting a nine-year-old in the house on a Saturday night. I come in this house at 5 in the morning. It's going to be a lot of things waiting for me. You know what I mean? So, you know, so I had to let that go. But it's funny. I don't even think he know that. Yeah, tell him that.
It's interesting, man, because, you know, I feel like as kids, we don't really, you know, we always clashing with our parents as kids. And as we get older, as men, you start to really appreciate them more and appreciate, you know, the things that they were trying to, you know, caution you from or protect you from. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, it's just interesting.
I totally get it. You know, now I got a son. I got a 3-year-old son, you know, so I totally get it. Because when I was coming up, you know, my pops, he definitely was pushing me in other ways as far as what are you going to be later on in life. Because my pop was outside, like my pop was in the street, you know? So he definitely was like, yo, you need to do something that's going to make sure you in a certain position in a certain place. And I don't ever want to see you struggling or all that. So I'm 14 years old coming in talking about music. I'm talking about Rhyming and Mace and Jada and the Locks. And, you know what I mean? And he's just like, yeah, that's cool. But, yo, you need to get on this, you know? So he wanted me in other worlds, but kids got their own agenda, man, and I wasn't trying to hear it. Yeah. You know, I went to college. I went to SUNY Farmingdale. Shout out to Farmingdale, the whole 110 and all that. Mm-hmm. I went to Farmingdale, but I ain't finished. You know what I mean? I did a couple years, and I was like, nah, I gotta bust this move on this rap shit. You know, and now my pops is my biggest fan, you know, because he's like, you saw it through. You know, you went against what I recommended for you, but you saw the shit through, and you made it work. Through. You know, so now, you know, I own my house and, you know, my property and my land and my cars and my this and my that, and I'm opening businesses and I ghostwrite for people and I'm traveling the world and my name is ringing and people got me in a certain regard. The shit worked. You know what I mean? That's not a flex. That's just a blessing.
Yeah, it worked out.
So he's like, yeah, you made the right call on that. Yeah, you know what I mean? He's like, yeah, you got that one, you know?
Dreams, man, it manifests itself, man. It's a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned ghostwriting. So for those who are unfamiliar with it, just break that down. You know, what is ghostwriting and how did you become such a popular ghostwriter in the game?
Yeah, so ghostwriting is, you know, just literally writing behind the scenes. You know, it'll be somebody who, you know, they're an artist, they're already out or they're coming out or whatever, and they may not write everything or they may write nothing at all, you know, but they got the image, the look, the sound or whatever, and, you know, they need that help. So you call somebody like me, walks in a session and pretends to be them for an hour or two and writes a record and lays it down. And a lot of times, I think people think ghostwriting is write lyrics on a paper and hand it to you. It's really not. You know, you go in and lay down a reference. So I'll go in, I'll write a record, and I'll record the record under, you know, in my voice or whatever, but with a certain flow and everything that I wrote to it to match this person. And then they go in and they learn it. You treat it like a song on the radio and you listen to it over and over and over and you learn it. And that way, when you read in the lyrics, you got the flow and the cadence in the pocket. And you know, there's reference tracks. I mean, you could look up, if you look up on YouTube, put Biggie Queen Bitch, you'll see the Biggie reference for the Little Kim joint.
Right
And he's talking about puss and this and that and all this stuff that you'd be like, whoa, that's Big saying that, because he wrote it for Kim and he referenced it. So the reference leaked years ago. So that's just one example of ghostwriting. So yeah, being a ghostwriter, man, I done worked with a ton of people. You know, people who, the funny thing about it, it's like people who my fans would never think I would be in a room with. So, like, if I'm on this side of the fence and it's hip-hop and boom-bap and the real and the raw, I go on that side of the fence and it's, you know, the chef and the maid and the gate opens up and, you know, the elevator in the house and the studio with the SSL in the crib with the butlers and the crab legs and the this and the that and the champagne. Do you need more champagne while you write? And I'm like, yeah, why not? Fuck it. Why not?
I'm
bringing it. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's a whole nother world of like artists that I've been blessed and fortunate to write for, that have nothing to do with my side of quote unquote boom bap hip hop. Yeah. So it's cool because I say I get to dance in both worlds. I could dance here, I could dance there. You know, I like that. So yeah. It's dope. It brings in a bunch of money and it gets me in other rooms, which is cool. And it opens up other doors. You know, obviously I can't get into who I write for, but a friend of mine was like, a while ago was like, yo, I was on Facebook and I saw this chat and the whole thing was who the guys who write for. And he started rattling off names and he was mad.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, that shit is great. Like, it's just buzzing me up crazy. That shit is great. Don't be mad. And some of the names was wrong, but some of them was
some
right.
Some of them was right?
Yeah, some of them was right. He was reading it. I was like, yeah, they got a couple of those right. You know what I mean? But, you know, it was this big debate of like, yo, who this guy right? Boom, boom,
yeah.
Boom. And I was like, I'm never going to jump in that chat. But some of that shit was right and some of it was wrong. You know what I mean? But it's cool, man. I got in, I know you asked how I got started. I got in through my man, Illmind. And for those who may not know, shout out to my brother, Illmind. He's an amazing producer. Worked with everybody from myself and Little Brother to 50 Cent to Drake to Logic to Future, everybody, man. Shout out to Ill, big Knicks fan too. Shout out to my brother Illmind. So before that, I was trying to get in ghostwriting through other ghostwriters. So I'll meet people that I knew was ghostwriters and yo, what's up, man? Yo, what's good? Yo, I know you writing for so and so. Yo, when you in there, yo, give me a call, man. I'll come in and write with you. And they're like, yeah, no doubt. And the phone would never ring. Why would they call me to take food off they
plate?
But it took a second for me to do the math because I was just so ready to get in that room. And I'm like, wait a minute. They looking at it like, for those watching, like most ghostwriters, not all, but most ghostwriters are rappers who didn't make it. And that's not a slight. It's just a fact. Like, a lot of dudes, they'll be super nice with the pen, but they may not have the right look, or they may have a funny voice, or they may be... It may be kind of an introvert, so they're not ready for the light and interviews. They'll sit with somebody like you and kind of freeze because they're introverted and they don't like dealing with the light and the people. So you can't make that guy a star. You can't make that guy an artist. It's very hard, but his pen is crazy. His pen is fluid. So he become a ghostwriter. All you got to do is go to the studio, write, boom, boom. But he wishes that he had a career where he could tour, sell records, sit with CP and Knicks Fan TV and do all these cool things. Meanwhile, you got Sky Zoo coming in the room. I rap, I tour, I sell records, I sell merch, I get with the people, I go on the road, I sit with people like you, I make money as an artist. So now I'm trying to get into some more money ghostwriting, and you looking like, yo, you somewhere that I'm not. I ain't bringing you over here where I'm at. You know what I mean? So that's the moral of that story. So I had to learn to go through somebody else who wouldn't feel, you know, kind of, you know, slighted or feel like I'm stepping on their toes or whatever. And I was Illmind because Illmind's a producer. Not eating his food and not eating mine. We good. You know what I mean? And that's my brother. So he wound up working with some people in LA and he came home. He came back to New York and called me like, yo, next time I go to LA, you got to come with me, man. They need writers. I was like, bet. I went out there, started writing for so-and-so and it was just moving. It was like, yo, this you? Yo, this is crazy. Okay, cool. Then other people was coming in the session, other artists, and they was playing the references I did, and it was like, yo, that's the new song? That's your new joint?
Yeah.
Ah, my man right here wrote that. That's him. Word? That's you doing a reference to? Yo, take my number. Take my, yo, boom, boom, boom.
Just
I need
roll
to
roll like that.
And it just started snowballing, man, and it was nonstop, and I'm getting pulled in this studio. I'm leaving out of, I'm sneaking out of one session to go to the another one to come back. It just got crazy, man, and it's been dope.
That's dope, man. That's dope how he opened up that door for you and things just kept pouring in.
Yeah, that's my brother, man. Yeah. Shout out to Illmind, Illmeezy.
Shout out to Illmind. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. CP and Sky Zoo were talking Knicks and all the brilliant things. His new album dropping this Friday. So make sure you guys go check that out, man. Independence. So, you know, as we kind of ride this digital wave and technologies, you know, increasing the way we connect with each other globally, you know, each day is getting better and better and new advancements coming out. You obviously have all your social media platforms, your YouTubes, and everybody's going direct to consumer now. You have your social audio, your Clubhouse, and so on and so forth. You have NFTs in which, you know, artists, both visual artists, you know, musicians and the like are you know, using that as another way for revenue stream. How do you see yourself, you know, playing those avenues today to kind of further your brand as an independent artist?
Yeah, well, as an indie artist, man, you got to wear so many hats. If anybody watching that's inspiring artists, whether you indie or you want to be indie or you want to go major, whatever it is, you got to wear so many hats as an independent artist. I manage myself. I handle all my bookings, everything. You know what I mean? When we got together, when you hit me, you hit me. I ain't say, yo, hit my manager. You hit me. Yeah. Yo, Sky, boom, what time? Yo, you good? Yeah, yeah, let's do it at such and such time. That's being an independent artist. You know, you wearing so many hats and controlling everything. You know, I'll be in the booth recording a verse and the phone will ring mid-verse. Like, I'm rhyming off the notes on the phone and I'm recording. And then, boom, my lawyer calls with the points on the split for this song. Or, you know, my PR person calls about this interview I got to do. Or the person doing my artwork calls because whatever. I don't have a manager or somebody or a label to kind of get in the middle of that, you know, and that's by choice, you know, being independent, you really, really wear those hats, you know, you got to do it all. And now even major label artists, I think anybody in music now, you got to move like you were indie. Even if you're a major, you got to be hands-on with your creative side, you know, putting your video treatments together, styling yourself or co-styling yourself with your stylist, putting together your interviews, posting your own stuff, going out and, yo, this is my joint, it's coming out this time, setting up your own Instagram lives, whatever. You know, you're officially becoming more of a label at that point. You're becoming more of a business at that point. So all that stuff is important. And for anybody watching, trying to get in, know that you're going to have to juggle multiple things. You ain't just going to be able to create like the 90s where you could just sit, blow an L and write all day. Like, right, you know what I mean? It's a different vibe now.
You with the pandemic, you mentioned your surgery, you know, you had the polyp on your vocal cords, but also the pandemic also stopped a lot of shows, a lot of tours. You mentioned you're a road warrior. How did that impact you, and how have you been, you know, navigating out of that?
Yeah, it was wild, man, because, you know, I had so much stuff lined up. You know, I literally had a month-long tour for Europe already booked. I had 2 weeks in South Africa already booked. Like, I had all this stuff already going. I had done myself and Elzai, shout out to my man Elzai. We had done a couple tours for the Retropolitan joint. I put together the Retropolitan tour and brought him with me, and we rocked out for months. And, you know, throughout 2019, And then all this stuff was supposed to happen in 2020, and then boom, you know, the Rona hit, and everything shut down, and we don't know what's going on and where it's going to be. I haven't touched a stage since December 2019. That was the last stage I touched. Me and my man, Fred the Godson, rest in peace, Fred.
Rest in peace, Fred the Godson, for real.
And then the Rona, the start of all that stuff happened and everything was shut down. And obviously, you know, the unfortunate happened when he passed. But, you know, my last show, was December 2019, man. And I got one coming up this week. So it's my first time coming back.
That's right.
So I'm like, all right, man, we ain't been in the gym in like 10 months. What are we going to do? You know, it's that type of vibe. Like, but I'm excited for it. But thank God I was able to stay afloat. You know, my family didn't miss a meal. My son's room looked like Toys R Us. Like, everything is cool, you know. And that's because I got other things. So if we're not touring, ghostwriting is still happening. I record at the crib. I got the full studio in the crib. I record, send the reference back. We send the paper back. We do the splits, boom, boom, boom. Or, you know, record sales from previous joints. And, you know, licensing opportunities from records that I got or records I just placed or just made and on commercials and TV shows and movies. So all that money was still coming in. But the road is real. You know, for everybody watching, man, the road and the merch table. You get your merch game right, I'm telling you, you can walk away straight cash, baby. Like, the road is real, because that merch table is heaven. It's heaven for everybody watching.
So speaking of the road, you know, Knicks Fan TV is a global platform. Give me your top three favorite cities to tour.
I love being in London. I love being in Johannesburg, South Africa. I'm giving you the world because I know you said global. I love Toronto.
T-Dot. Shout out T-Dot.
And if we're talking about the States, I'm not going to say New York because that's not touring.
Right.
You know what I mean? L.A. is always great. Chicago. Chicago is always amazing, man. Every show I've ever done in Chicago, sold out, wall to wall, like, had to turn people away. Every show I've ever done in Chicago, man. Chicago is love. Baltimore is love. Detroit. Atlanta is always great being down here. Chicago, man. Chicago is dope. Chicago is for real, man. When I go to Chicago, it's a blast, man, every trip.
Shout out to Chi-Town. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Shout out to everybody in the UK, Canada, South Africa as well, man. If you guys are checking in from those cities, man, definitely shout out to you
guys.
Please,
people at home watching, man, if you ever get the opportunity, go to South Africa. Mm. Never mind whatever, you know, pre-connotations, whatever you may have of South Africa and of Africa in general. It's the most beautiful place in the world. They got more money than you would imagine. You know what I mean? You go to the mall, they got Louis stores and chicks pulling up in Rovers, and you go to the club and it's Ace of Spades everywhere. You're like, yo, because you're used to the commercials with all the stereotypes.
Yeah.
South Africa's amazing. And you could come up on a Humble and get a flight to South Africa for like $700,
nice,
depending on when you book it, which is nothing. Like going on GOAT and getting two pairs. It's like going on GOAT and getting two pairs of dead stock. So, like, go to South Africa if you get the chance, man. Go to Johannesburg, go to Cape Town, and just tap in with real life, man. Like, I went to a lion park and was running with lions, for real. Wow. It was crazy, man. Like, that was life or death, but, you know, my parents thought I was bugging. It was like, yo, why would you do that? Like, when I emailed them back, it was like, yo, why would you do that? Like, don't ever do that again. I was like, I had to say,
hey,
I did
the experience,
it, you know what I mean?
Man. So, it's the experience.
So if you get the chance, go to, and CP, if you get the chance, go to South Africa, bro.
Yeah,
during
of course.
The off-season, no Knicks,
man.
Nothing to talk about on the screen.
It's on the list, man. South Africa, Australia have been on the list. I'm in the UK all the time. I got family in the UK for sure. T-Dot
as well.
Australia's
great too.
Australia has been on my list. South Africa definitely been on the list, man. So we'll certainly check it out. On the album, All the Brilliant Things, you mentioned the story. What is the story behind it, the concept behind the album?
Yeah, so it's a conceptual piece. It is about gentrification and cultural appropriation. You know, it's solely about those two things, what they mean, what they're about, and how the two play hand in hand. And it really just breaks down the things that have been taken from us as a people, as folk that look like you and I, the things that we've let go, the things that we've given away, things that we've sold, and not noticing the value in them, you know, when it comes to our homes and where we're from.
Yeah.
You look at the changes that have happened all over the place. And then when you talk about cultural appropriation, too, and you talk about how all these things that we've created and how they get snatched from us. And I look at a lot of other walks of life, and I look at a lot of other things that have been created and other types of people who don't look like you and I, those things don't happen to them. Their cultures don't get taken from them or stripped or used or sold or flipped and remixed and bounced. And, you know, no one is telling them how to do what they do. But when it comes to us, I feel like people feel like they can tell us how to be more us than us. And I'm like, you ain't us.
Yeah.
How you going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I always use the example of, it's like me telling a 75, 80-year-old Italian grandmom how to make Italian food.
Yeah, how to make that sauce, right?
I could never.
How to make that gravy, yeah.
What kind of audacity is that? I could never. I can either enjoy it or not. She may not be the greatest. That may not be the greatest Italian food I ever had. Just walk away. But I can't ever tell her, yo, you don't know what you're doing. That's not real. Yo, this woman is from there. Like, how could I do that? So it's the same thing. But I feel like with us, people tell us how to do what we do, and they're not us, or they're not from us. They're not from where we're from, and they're not from our walks of lives, and they don't understand it, you know? And, you know, you go on the GOAT app or sneakers app or whatever, and you got a bunch of people dressed like us that don't look like us, you know? But they won't hire us to do those ads, you know? Like, they'll hire people who don't look like us but could pretend. Yo, throw this hoodie on, throw this Supreme hoodie on, and throw these Deadstock ones on, and throw this beanie on, and we're going to do this shoot. But they won't look at us for that, you know, because we're not hip-hop enough. What you talking about? We are hip-hop.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's what the record is about. And it's not a race thing. I don't want people who are listening like, damn, Sky's on this thing. It's not a race thing. Literally, it's about culture and where we live. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's about these things and how they play hand-in-hand and just kind of trying to get back what's ours and get control of it. You know, it ain't about nobody enjoying what we have or where we live. It's just enjoy it with us. Don't think you could take it from us. Just come be a part of it. Get involved.
Bring us in the fold, man. No, that's deep. And certainly something that, you know, I'm cognizant of. And as you said, it's in so many facets of life, whether it's music, the arts, fashion, sports, media, media, big time in media. You know, when you look at, you know, how we index on these social platforms, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Clubhouse, so on and so forth, and we just don't have much ownership stake in a lot of these areas. And so that's very important, man. I'm with you on that 100%. It's very important. But as I said, I feel like with the evolution of a lot of these platforms, it should make it more accessible for us, you know, if we support it. You know what exactly. I mean? If we support these endeavors that a lot of our people are coming out with, we have to push that, you know, push the issue for sure.
100%. You hit the nail on the head, man, because I know people that'll trip over themselves to do interviews with certain types. But then it'd be somebody coming up with a new platform, Somebody building something real, somebody putting the work in and doing something real dope, and they'll ignore it because of, oh, yeah, that's that, whatever, nah, nah, nah. But meanwhile, that person is more like you than the person you tripping over yourself to go get with. Mm-hmm. And that person will understand what you're doing, probably give you a better review, a better breakdown, give you a better story and a better interview because they understand what you was doing on that project or what you was doing on that record.
Yeah.
But you'll trip over yourself to get with some other people who don't understand it, don't care about it. And if you was to get shot tomorrow, you're just a bigger headline for them. And then that's it. You know? So it's those things. Like we got to take some accountability for certain things. And then other things, we got to really sit there and take all this shit back and get back in the driver's seat. And that's what the record's about.
100%, man. Thursday's event. Let's talk about Thursday's event. Just promote it for the people who may be in the NYC area or not, because you said there's an opportunity for those who aren't to participate.
Yeah, so Thursday night, I'm performing the entire album, All the Brilliant Things, with a live band the night before the album drops. So the dope thing about it is most of the time you get a show when somebody drop a record and it's after the record came out. With this, it's before the record came out. So you get to literally hear the entire record before it drops. And then as soon as the show is over, it's almost midnight and you could go online and get the record or whatever it is, however you get your music. So we're doing it Thursday, June 10th in New York at a spot called Berlin in LES. So everybody in New York, you know the lower in LES. Mm-hmm. You can go to berlin.nyc. Limited tickets because of COVID. So we had a small number at first. It sold out right away. They opened up a few more tickets for people. And I think that might be sold out or almost sold out. But go to berlin.nyc. Or if you want to check it from the crib, it's a fully produced show on Happn, Happin.
Okay.
So if you look up happn.com or if you search the Happn app on your phone, you can literally sit at the crib, buy a ticket for $10, $20, whatever, and just sit at the crib and put it on the screen and, you know, do the streaming thing with it and just catch it virtually, which I think is super, super dope.
Yeah.
You can sit at the crib and catch me do this. And it's a fully produced show. It's not somebody holding my phone for my Instagram live. You know what I mean?
Like, full production.
It's a fully produced joint. Like, it's going to look nuts. So,
dope.
It's dope.
Dope. You know, Versus was a big phenomenon during the pandemic. You know, Swizz and Timbaland definitely did their thing for the culture. Just signed a deal with Triller. Who would a Sky Zoo battle in a Versus? Who would be your ideal Versus
with some songs? Opponent? Oh, man, I don't know, man. That's a crazy one, man. I don't know. I thought about that before, but I couldn't really come up with nothing, man. Who would you say? Maybe that'll start the flame.
I mean, would you go Quali?
Nah, because Quai's an OG.
Yeah, Quai's an OG. Quai's an OG. Quai's
an
OG.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he's such an OG, man.
Yeah. Quai is an OG, man.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a unique one. Yeah. I've thought about it. I couldn't come up with nothing, man. Yeah. Like, you know, maybe my brother Torre, but that's my brother. You know what I mean? That's family. Yeah. And half the records we got together because we got albums together. You know what I mean?
So right.
They become more of a Red and Meth thing where we'll just party and perform. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's dope, though.
I felt like the only verses, I liked a lot of them. I didn't like the Kiss versus Fab one, bro.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like that was an even matchup. To me, I thought a more entertaining one would have been Kiss versus Styles. I know they didn't want to do it. I know Styles didn't want to do it.
Because they brothers, but that would have been crazy.
It would have been crazy, man.
Yeah,
but I just felt like with Kiss versus Fab, Kiss was kind of, he had the advantage because he could take most of the Lock stuff, his verses from the Lock stuff, without even dipping into his album stuff, which I thought, you know, obviously the Lock stuff was much better from that catalog, but I just felt like Fab, you know, Fab had more commercial hits, obviously. And I just thought it was just a clash of sounds. You know, obviously old Fab, you know, from the earlier albums was great, but I didn't like that matchup, bro. I didn't like it, man. I thought Kiss
it was entertaining because Kiss was loaded. It was entertaining. He was drinking. It was loaded. I loved it. I was like, yo, that's the Jada I know. I loved it, man. Like,
Kiss was definitely loaded, man. Ari sends a super chat. He says, Oh, man, I don't know if you're going to answer this. He says, start, bench, cut, J. Cole, Kendrick, or Drake?
That's rough, man. I'd start all of them, man. I know some people may feel a way about Drake being more commercial or whatever, but Drake is super dope. Super, super dope. You know what I mean? And obviously Cole is dope. Kendrick is dope. Like, all three of them are super dope, man. That's a tough one. You know, I don't know. I don't.
That's tough.
I wouldn't cut none of them. Yeah. I wouldn't cut none of them.
That's tough, man. I don't know if I could even answer that.
I wouldn't cut none of them.
Yeah. Salute to Rare Edition sends a super chat. He says, Skyzoo, I still believe you are the winner against Jin in that Freestyle Friday. Shout out 106 and Park, everybody that used to watch that, man. He says, salute. I remember meeting you in a couple times in downtown Brooklyn, handed out mixtapes. Stay blessed.
Way back. Yep.
Stay blessed.
So that was, man, that was 19 years ago. So he probably might have met me around then or maybe a few years later. Yeah, that's amazing, man. That is, it's wild how time flies.
Yeah, man. 19
years. Shout out to everybody on that. Shout out to the homie for tapping in.
Oh, for sure. I said Full Hypnotic already. Shout out Full Hypnotic. Chuck D sends a super chat. He says, yo, are we talking about not holding on to someone? Picture Randall going to Philly, playing alongside Embiid and Ben Simmons, passing it in. Picture that.
Wow.
Hey, Philly could use something like that, man, because the Hawks. Crazy. Hawks put it on them.
And Tobias? I mean, they wouldn't be able to afford it, but wow, that's crazy.
Shout out Tobias. Tobias is cooking.
I remember when people was trying to clap Tobias, like, yo, don't bring Tobias to the Knicks. Da, da. And he's over there wilding right now. I'm like, yo, Knicks fans, as much as I love us, got to chill sometimes, man. Like,
the we never satisfied, clapping, bro.
It's like, yo, chill. Like, Tobias would be awesome on this team. Tobias could play. He's not looking to be the number one option.
Yeah.
He could go off and give you 30 if you really need it. He do his job. Why would you clap Tobias? He's great.
Shout like, out Tobias,
is he top 10? No, but he's a dope, dope, dope player who could totally catch wreck at the three spot on this team. Like,
that's long. So that's a lot of those little finest, moments bro. That
we be clapping everybody for no reason, man. Then the people that should get clapped, like Francis, don't get clapped.
Yeah. That's true, man. Shout out to Tobias, man. Hopefully they got to come back with they need him. You know, they're going to need an offensive performance from him because I think Embiid will show up. Simmons, you can't count on him, you know, scoring points. But against the Hawks, you got to score, bro.
Yeah, the fact that they got washed like that on that first one, man, it was crazy. I didn't see that happening. Man, if Atlanta go to the Eastern Conference Finals, woo.
I'm telling you, man. I'm reading the chats right now. I think people are throwing their input in the verses. They got Skyzoo versus Elzy. They got Torrey.
That would be dope. Me and Elzy. That would be dope. That would be dope.
He said Torrey Afonte Gallo. Shout out, little brother. We said Torrey. Let's see who else. Somebody else said Talib Kweli. Skyzoo versus Terminology.
I thought about Term for a second. That's my brother. Shout the Term. That would be all right, too.
Yeah.
That would be all right. Me and Term. Term is my guy.
Papa Left says, Skyzoo versus Mickey Facts.
That would be dope. That would be dope.
Yeah.
Mickey's my man. I just was with Mickey the other day. That would be smooth. A lot of these, but that's the cool thing about what Versus became.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's your friends. It started out with, yo, you ain't better than me. Yo, you ain't better than me.
Right,
you know, now it's like your friends and you just celebrating life. Like, I love when you did that record. Check out my record, you know, so that's dope. Everybody they named. Those ain't bad choices. The only thing with Kweli is he's an OG, man.
I bought Kweli's joint.
I bought Black Star when I was in 10th grade.
So
I ain't doing that. That's an OG.
True story. All right, so we're gonna close the show, man. This was a great show. Definitely want to thank Skyzoo for joining us, man. We definitely wrapped on a lot. Remember to go get all the brilliant things this Friday, the release. And check out the album release. Stream this Thursday. What was the website again? It was Happens?
Happen, H-A-P-P-I-N.
H-A-P-P-I-N.com. TM and Dave, just throw that in the chat. H-A-P-P-I-N.com. Starts at 7:30, right?
Happen app and all that, too. So you can watch it on your computer, or you can get the app and watch it on your phone.
7:30, right?
Yep, 7:30
this Thursday.
Let's get it, man. And the album... The album is a beautiful piece, man. It really, really is something special. You know, everybody going to say their kid is smart. Everybody going to say their kid is gorgeous. This kid I made with this album is a beautiful, gorgeous, brilliant kid. You know what I mean? Like, word up.
Well, looking forward to it, man. And, you know, after all the adversity that you went through this pandemic, man, I'm sure it's a reward. You know, it's a sign of your determination, your perseverance, you know, to battle through those obstacles.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it for real. And thank you for having me on here. You know, like I told you before, man, I watch the joint all the time.
Appreciate
After every game, I would go to the joint and it would be like starting in 30 minutes. And I'm like, damn, 30 minutes? I got to wait. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm a fan of the show, man. I'm a fan of the show. I think it's brilliant the way you put this thing together and where you took it. You know, there's appreciate a lot of people doing fan shows and fan sites for the Knicks. Mm-hmm. And you took that thing to the moon, man. You know, being on ESPN with Max and all the other things you got going on. And, you know, the Icon Chuck tapping in every night and all the guests you've had. You know what I mean? Yeah. Some of them I know personally, like my man Dave Zinner. Shout out to my man Dave.
Yeah, shout out Dave, man.
Donahue.
Yeah.
You know, Ian Begley's my guy. Yep. You know, all those guys. But you got a lot of people in here. I'm like, damn, you got so-and-so and so. I think it's beautiful, man. So I don't know if heads be giving you them flowers when they come on here, but I'm going to give them to you, man.
No, I appreciate it, man. Rocking and rolling. Appreciate it. I mean, the flowers come to me when the people watch, you know what I mean? And the people that comment too. And they share and we just keep growing. So I see it, you know, through the analytics and everything like that, man. So definitely appreciate, you know, all the love, man. And as I said, Chuck opens up a lot of doors for us this season, man. So definitely appreciate that, man. And we're going to get to Jay Boogie right now. We're going to close the show.
Is that my man who'll be on?
Yep. Let's go.
Yeah.
Jay Boogie from North Carolina checking in, closing the show. What's going on, bro?
Salute. Three capital S's, but I can't do that right now because I got four S's. salute. And four capital S's. The other one's for Sky. Appreciate you being in the building, my brother. You know what I'm saying? We need that type of love in here, man. Salute you. Congratulations to your new LP that's dropping out. One week after Lloyd Banks. I need more bars, man. I respect that. Appreciate that, man. Thank you for sharing your life and situation and everything, how you fought back, got your vocal back right and everything, and you were doing all that ghostwriting. But now it's like time to let the whole world hear. Time for that voice writing. Salute you, man, my brother. You know what I'm saying? Salute you. Thank God
you
made
brother.
It back through, man, to give us your voice, man.
Appreciate you, brother.
Shout out to my man, CP.
All the
I forgot about you during the closing. When I was running down everything that happened great for us in the season, I forgot one main topic.
Yeah.
And the main topic after, you know what I'm saying, that was, and you got to appreciate us getting and CP going all the way on ESPN almost all season long, knocking off Max Kellerman's helmet, you know what I'm saying? Appreciate you for doing that, you know what I'm saying? You got to respect and love that, man. But everybody that's thinking it's the off-season, this ain't the off-season, this is the on-season. It's time for the officers to start getting their work, get their building and everything, what they're supposed to do and handle their business right now, right here, right now. This is their time right now to show up. The team showed up and the coaching staff showed up. It's time for the off-season to show up and handle their business. I point my fingers at three people, and the three people is Leon Rose, World Wide West, and Perry. I ask y'all three to go ahead and put this situation together like it's supposed to be. Y'all know what we need. Y'all know what we want. And y'all know, you know what I'm saying, it's only y'all that can make it happen. You know what I'm saying? The Knicks is all the way back. The organization is back. The front office is back. The coaching staff is back. And behind that, all the fans is back. And what's behind all the fans? All the podcasters. And what's behind all the podcasters? All the chats. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Everything that we got going on. Ain't no other organization got a fan base like the New York Knicks, that orange and blue. When I say orange and blue, I'm talking about the New York Knicks. I ain't talking about the Denver Broncos. I ain't talking about the Auburn Tigers. None of that. I'm talking about that New York sky orange and blue, man. Love it all the way to death, man. This is our squad right here, man. Appreciating everything. But I'm going to share one thing with y'all real quick, and I'm going to roll out. So everybody unsure about what's going on. When you hear the Dame talk, all this and that, I'm going to give it to you real easy. Brian Warnhurst, I think I said his last name right. He told us in the middle of the season, the Knicks are in position right now to go get a disgruntled all-star, and after that, go sign a free agent. That's all I'm going to say. If y'all remember Brian saying that, that's all I'm going to say. It sounds like it's starting to come about what Brian said. That's a basketball guy. He know more than what we know. God bless y'all. Stay healthy and safe. Continue to protect yourself, protect your home. Fathers, love your kids. Mothers, love your kids. Fathers, love your wives. Wives, love your husband. If your boyfriend and girlfriend, go further than that. Put a ring on it. Appreciate her being in your life, man. And God bless my man, Scott. Do your thing and tear the gym down, you know what I'm saying, Thursday night. Y'all heard that? First time in history somebody going to perform before the album even dropped. Most people perform after the album dropped. He's doing it the opposite way, man. God bless you, man. Shout out to Chuck D and everybody in the chat, man. Everybody else, man. And shout Shout out to Ashley and shout out to CK2K and the best board man it is in the business. Super day. I'm going to holler back.
Yes,
see
sir.
Y'all the next time that bell go off. And when that bell go off, y'all know what time it is. It's KFT, Nick Fan TV, and I'm the J Boogie, and we out.
That's it, bro.
Peace and love. Shout out to J Boogie. Hey, man, listen. I got one. I got a J Boogie closeout on my show. I got one. I'm good.
Let's
I'm,
go.
I'm good
that's,
to go.
That's
my
it,
stamp,
man.
The I'm stamp. Solidified my stamp,
the stamp
good.
Bro. The stamp, man. Well, like I said, bro, definitely appreciate all the time that you gave us. I'll be locked in on Thursday. And make sure you guys in the chat, make sure you check that out. TM and Dave, make sure you guys throw the app in there. HAPPIN, right?
Yep.
Happen, the Happen app or happen.com. Make sure you download it Thursday, 7:30, man, on time. Sky Zoo premieres the album All the Brilliant Things, man. Sky, before we wrap, any last words to the chat?
Just shout to everybody in the chat, man. Shout to everybody, please. You know, put them thumbs up for your boy and tap in and subscribe and do all that, man. And you know, shout to you, brother, man. Like I said, you've been cooking and this thing is real and I see where you got it and where it's going, man. So shout to you. Shout to everybody who's been showing love, man. You know, everybody in the chat, everybody who's been tapped in for years and years. You know, this is, man, I don't even know what number project this is. You know what I mean? This is like my fifth solo album, but it's like my 25th project altogether. And it's been a serious ride, and I love it. And, I'm blessed. I'm blessed and fortunate. I don't call them fans. I call them fam. You know what I mean? Because once you've been around that long and you really tapped in and we here and you relate, you fam. So shout out to all the fam out there for real, for real. And the Knicks, man, let's get it, man. Let's get. I ain't gonna tear that guy down no more. Pause. I was gonna go back and French bread. I'm not gonna tear that guy down no more. Y'all know how I feel about French bread. But shout to everybody tapping in and all the true real Knicks fans. A real Knicks fan is a realist. So we're gonna keep it a bean, you know, like one of the callers called in earlier, like, yo, Knicks fans. If you say something bad about the Knicks, they want to tear you down. Those ain't real Knicks fans. They living in a pipe dream, you know? Like a real Knicks fan to keep it a bean. If we here, we here. If we here, we got to acknowledge it and pick it up. So,
sir.
Shout out to all the real Knicks fans tapped in.
Absolutely, man. And once again, everybody in the chat, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Get that all the brilliant things this Friday. And, man, we'll catch you on the next.